and break my neck. Anyway, so he put those shelves on. They'd been up over there for a number of times. And on the shelf for the hole back to go through, somebody nailed on and took a piece of leather and tacked it, patted it to the shaft, and then brought it back double and patted it again so there was a loop. And you could run your hole back through there and then wrap your shelves, and that was it. Evidently that leather had been there so long, it got dried out and was terrible rotten. Looked all right, and their old dad wouldn't have used it, so put it into that sleigh. Well, that particular morning, the other good guardian of angel was looking after us, I guess. Gertrude hollered over. Back then they used to have a horn, kind of a horn. Did you ever see one that you could?
Yeah, blow. And then, sort of call through.
Yeah. So I was going down the barn, and she watched from over there. She could see from the windows, about a half mile away. So she came out there, and she, because she didn't have any telephone over there, and she hollered over that she didn't want to go to the creamery with me. So, okay. Well, I got around our breakfast and hitched up and went for the creamery with her and had a can full of 84 pounds of cream in the can. And the can cover, they drilled a little hole in the center of it, just a little hole, and had a little wooden plug in it. So when you try to put the cover tight on a can that's full air, it'll squeeze out. So you take that little plug out, you can drive the cover on tight so it wouldn't work off, and then put the little plug in. So I ate up as nice could be and went out across the flat, went down by the Fred Cardle place, and we never let the colts trot down the hill, always made them walk. And went down that little grade, I let them go down to what they call Dan Rowell Flat, down at the end of my dad's farm. Little flat, and I squeaked her, and she trotted along when they pitched over. I said, whoop, easy girl. She came down into the pit, down to quite a little grade that was. Went down a little way, and there was a little turn in the road. And there was a lot of little popple and young trees growing up, probably to tall as that lamp or a little more. And it was good sleighing, it was in December. But the roads weren't built up high, and that stone up, so they were built up too high, but that's nice sleighing. So when he got to that grade, I said, whoop, easy, easy. And she sat back in the britches. And first thing I saw, that crossbar was going right up to her rear end. Well, I, quick thinker, I knew I was in trouble, or gonna be, so before it struck her, I raised up and wrapped the lines around my hands so I'd make sure they wouldn't slip. And I come back on it, and just as I did, that crossbar come up against her hind end, and she started kicking. She jumped and leaped and kicked, and when she did, she took the top of the dash off, went up playing up by a piece of wood up by my head, and every time she come down bounded, she'd leap. And in the meantime, why she kicked so well, by that light harness and overdraw check was light, and she bounced on it so hard it broke, and then it let her head down. In other words, if that check had broke, I could have kept her head up and controlled her better, but that give away. Well, now maybe I didn't take a wild ride down there, and when we made that little turn in the road, we didn't stay in the road. And I was sitting in that sleigh with a can of cream between my legs and sawing her with both hands, and that sleigh went up on them bushes and it tipped up and it threw me out and the cream out, right out into the road. And I was dragging. I hung on and she dragged me for down the road for quite a little ways, and I don't know how I ever made it to loosen up my reins and come up behind that sleigh onto my feet and then take her with one rein and pull her into the ditch and stopped her. And when I got her stopped, she'd broke one shaft and the sleigh was cocked up and she had her hind legs straddle the other shaft, if you can make out of the picture. And I had her head pulled right around to the turret and in the bushes, and she just couldn't go any farther. And now I'm telling you, she was a wild and on hitch. Every time I made a move, she'd jump trying to go somewhere. But I kept that one rein tight and her head pulled right around Conway's and in the snow in the ditch. And I worked hand over hand till I got up and I could unhitch the tugs and unhitch the other hole back and got her all those shelves. And then I led her back up. In the meantime, that can of cream, my dad was kind of disgusted. I never liked that too well, but was laying on his side and out that little hole, 46 pounds, I'll never forget it, 46 pounds of cream during that time, went out that little hole in the middle of the road. Well, of course, quick I got back up out of the can, I shredded it up, and I went back home leading her, slave in the ditch. And I told Dad what happened. He says, first thing he says, did you spill the cream? And I said, well, there's some of it gone, I don't know how much. And, well, so I put another harness on her and hit her into the brake sleigh that Dad made purpose for braking calls, low down sleigh and seat in it, and long horn beam hardhack shafts that if they kicked, they couldn't hit anything, and if they got mad and threw themselves on, they wouldn't break. So I put her into the brake sleigh, and she was pretty nervous, I will tell you. And I went back and took what cream I had and took it down to creamery. But, you know, I don't know how in the world I ever took that and went out head first with the cream and a buffalo in front of me and landed out the cat tipping over, hanging the reins, and then she dragged me and I got around and got up and took her down to the creamery. And, you know, for quite some time afterwards, every time when we got down to that certain place where she was stopped, she'd try to go to the other side of the road. She remembered where she was stopped. And this is kind of interesting. George Long lived out at the foot of the village, and he came up that day later to see Dad about something. And I don't know, told him something about it, and Dad said something about a lot of that cream, and he says, what's a little cream, Elijah? He said, if you could see the marks in the road while that horse was leaping, and while they went down through there and the bushes bent over, and he says, why that boy hung on that hard and didn't let it get away, he says, what are you kicking about?
How old were you then?
Well, see, that was, I was 20 years old. And a year before I left.
You must have been some sore the next day.
Oh, I was so lame, my arms. And you know, of course, she was young and her mouth was tender. But you want a harsh runway, you don't want to pull steady, you want to saw that bit in the mouth. And I was young, courtly little fella too. And I sawed that bit enough to her where I got her stopped. So when she was stopped, she had blood dripping out of her mouth from that bit tearing her cheeks.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so I thought Dad felt kind of bad about 46 pounds of cream, but what about me? I could have got hurt.
Bet you were glad Gertrude decided not to come.
That's what I say. Might have been a guardian angel over us. Because if she'd been in there, I don't know what would happen. She'd have got hurt because she'd have been on the left side because you always drive from the right. She'd have been the one that had gone over and the can of cream on top of her and probably me too. And I don't know what would have happened. But the next day, Dad said, well, we got to break her, not to kick if anything hits her. So my brother Lauren, we took her out and we put foot straps on her front feet. You probably don't know what those are particularly, but you put a pad around them, and there's a ring in the bottom of the pad, and you put a couple little straps on their front feet, on their ankles, between their hoof and their ankle, with a little ring in it. And then you put these use ropes or long lines, whichever, and you buckle it into the ring in the center of their belly. Go down and run it to the ring on them on the padlock and come back up to the ring and out one for each foot. One rope goes one side of her and the other for each foot back behind them. One person could handle them ropes. And then when they act up and that, like they rare or cake to go off, when they go in the air, pull those ropes up. When they come to come down, them, their knees are folded. They don't land on their front feet, they land on their knees and on their chin.
And it hurts.
Well, they don't like that landing, it surprises them too. It don't hurt too bad, they'll let us know. But so we fixed her up, and Lauren was a pretty rugged fella, and he handled the foot straps, and I took the reins, and Dad took an old basket, and we went up in the yard and drove around. She walked a little funny. She wasn't used to the things on there, but she'd walk all right as long as you tied them up, and she was a little nervous, but not bad. We drove around the circle a couple of times and stopped her and then spoke to her. And as we went by, Dad threw this basket out towards her hind feet. Well, boy, she jumped into the air and kicked. And when she came down, she landed on her knees and her nose. And then she belted the rat in the air, but she still had to come down. And Dad says to Lauren, he says, she was stopped on her knee and her head down. He says, that's where you lay her down. Hold them tight. Had her down nice, held in the line, so they wouldn't let her get her head up. And that rope was around the side of her, outside of her leg. We give out a quick snap, took her under feet out of her, and laid her right on her side. Well, now I'm telling you, she squirmed and kicked around, but she couldn't pull her head up. She couldn't get up. And Dad had his little whip, and while she was down there, he gave her a little, just not bad, a little lick her up under her belly, around there, a few snaps, dad-like. And we said, whoa! And then we rolled that basket right up to her, you know, and we let her on her feet. You know, and she had one other spell, tried it a little. From that time on, I don't care what you threw at her and touch her, she'd freeze, right, to stop. Basket grub against her hind feet, she'd stop right there. We took a wooden stick or something, put it on her hind legs when she was walking and up around under her tail, and you couldn't make her kick. That was the end of it.
That's terrific. I mean, and who would know about that today? I mean, that's the kind of information that just those kind of stories don't get passed on.
And we didn't have to do any hurt or anything. He did use a little whip on her there once when she's down. But, you know, she just simply froze in her tracks when she sees something coming toward her. And after that, I know that if you were driving her in a sleigh or buggy and the crossbar went up against her, if you said, whoa, I know she'd stop. And there would be no kicking. But I had a kind of a wild ride.
Is that the wildest ride you've ever had?
That was yes, it was. That was the wildest scary ride that I ever had. And I was...
That's amazing.
I never... Never forget it. Oh, I've had quite a little experiences. And I had the same thing happen here since I've moved up here. I was breaking a colt for Cliff Braley, a Welch. I got pictures somewhere else in somebody's catalog showing. And I had her driving beautiful. And in a cart and that like. And these little Welches are spirited little things, anyway, she was. And I had her driving in a pony cart, and around that night I'd been over to the college, down around the barn, driving her. And when I came back, Warren Thompson, a professor, later retired, but was living in an apartment teaching over here. And during the time of handling colts, when he's around, he says, gee, he said, you never have any problems. He said, you make it look so easy. He was from Boston. He didn't know anything about it. So, anyway, that particular night when I come back, I got out this side of the store, a little ways, and right there by the first house, this side of the store, and the road drops off quite a little bit there. He was walking, and I drove along, and I said, whoa, she stopped. I said, would you like to ride? He said, oh, yes. So we got on the little cart, of course, the pony cart, and they're up when you sit on the cart, you're right up near the rear end. And he got on, he was quite a big heavy fellow. He had on a light blue windbreaker jacket. And of course, we break colts. Don't everybody do it, but we always broke them with an open bridle, Earl, and everything. We break them with an open bridle so they see everything when they're breaking them and got things so we can handle them. So then they aren't scared. If you break one with a blind bridle, like a lot of them do today, and there's a stable up in Brookfield that breaks them, but he always drives them in blind bridle and everything.
What do you mean by, you said an old bridle?
Open.
Open. You mean with no...
No blinders.
No blinders.
They can see what's coming behind them. They can see everything, just mm-hmm. a bridle yeah. with a bit in it. And they'll check.
Yes.
And so she had no bridle on, of course, because that's what'll break them. And he got on the cart, and if he'd have sat still, I know we'd been on it. She was a little looking back at him because she wanted you to see an extra one on the car, but she was under control, and I had confidence in her. But what did he do when just when we started? He had to raise up and lean towards her and pull his coattail down. Well, when he did, it scared her, and she kicked. Jumped in the air and kicked with both feet. Well, we'd been all right if he'd sat still. But, of course, in the meantime, when she'd done that, I had to put tight rein on her, and I began to churn and look at. And she was going ahead and bouncing, and she was looking to the left eye at him. And I see we're getting to the edge of the road. She wasn't going too fast, but bounding. What do I do to tip up? So I just reined her to go down straight, not tip over. And I had her under control to that point. But what did he do? Jump out. And when he did, when he jumped out on that left side, of course, I was sitting on the edge of the seat in the pony cart, and the slanted, that cart tipped up, and off I went head first. He went off, jumped off, and he broke his ankle. And I went off head first, and of course, then she scared and jumped and started kicking, and the cart tipped up on its side, and well, you see just that White House first on there before you go down to the camp. Just this side of that where it happened. And they say the stone post down in there and a little apple tree or something. I don't know how the heck we ever went between the two, but we did. With the cart up sideways, and she was dragging me because I went off course. She dragged me with the bell.
You didn't cut your head wide open.
I hit my head on something, just scunned it a little bit. I didn't know what, but that's. But anyway, there again, we got through by that stone post, and that time I was on my feet again, and I had her stopped. And the cart was laying with, on one wheel and the other up on the wheel, spinning around. And the one shaft was between the shaft, and she bent one shaft of the iron pipe shafts. She bent it some, and her hind legs were straddling the other shaft. Well, I, of course, talked to her, and I kept her head up. And meantime, Warren was hollering, "Help, help, help." And I said, "Somebody will come." I was having to tend to her, and I had a job to tend to her to get around and get that cart righted up. And when they did, it had fenders on it and bent them so they were rubbing on the tires. But I got her back in the shaft, didn't break a shaft or anything. I got the thing, got it up, straightened up, and I drove her home, walked behind the cart with the wheel rubbing pretty heavy on the fender. I didn't ride, I rode home otherwise, but I...
Home here?
Yeah, from here home. I drove her home, and... In the meantime, somebody come along, picked Warren up, and took him down to the hospital. He had a broken ankle. Now, if he just sat still and rode, everything would have been all right.
How long ago was this?
This was, I come up here in 66. This was, 1968, I guess. And so, what I was going to say was, of course, then I said, well, of course, I come home and told Gertrude, and I said, I go, oh, she's... Poor Warren, I said, yeah, but I said, if he'd sat still, if he hadn't jumped out, if he'd sat still, it wouldn't have happened, because she'd have gone along all right. So I said, tomorrow, I said, I've got to break her so she won't kick. So I've got some pictures somewhere in some magazines here, I guess. And so I took her out and put the foot straps on her, and I had to work, well, alone, really. I needed a helper.
Yeah.
But it happened to be that that day it happened, friends of mine, his wife from Haverhill, he had been worked for a telephone company 47 years, and he had a heart attack, he was had a bad heart, and so he couldn't do much. He could drive his car, but you know, he couldn't do not a lot of medicine. They came up that day. So the next morning, I come home and I told Cecil what had happened. I said, tomorrow morning, I said, I'm going to take her out. I'm going to break her, not the kick. And I says, he said, well, I know. He said, I wish I could help you. I said, no, well, you can. I said, I'm going to have you do something. So I put the foot straps on her and took her out and drove her around the lines. And of course, I had to do my driving in one hand and hand the foot straps the other. Of course, she was a pony, but she was about 13 hands high. So I took her out in the backyard, drove around a couple of times so I get used to walking to the foot straps. They feel funny, they used to something on their feet. And I says, I wonder what made her kick except his. I says, the first thing I know, I said, my cart was in the garage and I had an old quilt to sit on, see, folded up. I said, get that quilt and put it over my shoulders. Because I tried a few other things and she didn't seem to mind, you know. So he brought that old quilt out to the old bucket and threw it over the back of my shoulders. I tucked it right down to my arms and I had my reins on that foot strap. And I was right behind her and I spoke to her to go. She had the bit on. And when she moved, and I moved to that thing, boy, she went into the air and come up with both hind feet, you know. Well, of course, the quilt fell off of me, but next thing she knew, she was on the ground. I had her down there with her front feet and that leg, and she wasn't big enough, so what I took the ropes and snapped her on the feet out from under and had her laying right out. Well, she kicked around some, but I pulled her head right up with the one rein right up so she can't, they can't get up unless they get the head straight. So I held that line. I said, Cecil, take that quilt and throw it on to her. I said, she was laying down, kicking her. I said, I think she's cold. I said, cover her up. And he threw that blanket on her. Well, you know, she laid there and scrambled her feet and thrashed around, and she was so mad and that, like she squealed right out. And I let her lay there, and I held put that quilt on to her. And then she kept kicking, and I had him, and I said, get my whip. I said, she needs a little training. And I had her laid down there all the time, and that time she'd kick the blanket to get the dress. And so I just give her a little touch of that whip around there. A plank bar up under her belly, a few cracks, and straight down. Now I said, don't know. I said, throw that quilt on her again. And he did. And she laid right there. Of course, her head was up. Then I let her up. And we did that once more. And I put her right down the second time. And from that time on, I drive around and I say to Cecil, throw that quilt to her. He'd pick it up and when she went by, toss it to her, and what'd she do? She'd stop and freeze right in her tracks. So then I said, get a piece of baler twine and hitch it onto that old quilt, and we tied it onto the back strap of her harness and let her drag it behind her. And you couldn't make her kick up after that.
Incredible.
No, sir, you couldn't make her kick up after that.
I got
a picture somewhere where they're laying down out there in the backyard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gertrude came out and took a picture.
Oh, that's great. That's a one.